Center. I'm Dr. W. Ron Walker, under the apostolic leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson. So glad to be here with you tonight. We're going to get right into our lessons for tonight out of chapter number 7, which is beginning to move in prophecy. And we have been talking about the 7 ways or 7 principles that prophecy comes to us. Number 1 is when we receive the exact words of the message. Number 2, when we receive the sense of a message. And number 3, and when we receive the first words or sentence of a message. Number 4, when we receive a vision or a strong impression in the spirit. And number 5, when we receive an impression or a revelation through a song. Now we're picking up with how to introduce a new direction when necessary as it relates to prophecy or prophesying. If we are a member of the congregation and we receive a fresh direction in the flow of the service, we need to know or we need to go to the song leader and submit that new direction to them so that they can decide what to do or hand a note to the song leader concerning the direction. We may prophesy the message of what God is saying. However, we must leave the singing of the song and the direction to the song leader. If after we have submitted the new direction and the song to the song leader, but they reject it, God still considers us a faithful messenger of God, since the prophecy has been delivered. God will still accomplish his plans and his purposes. If we are the song leader and we receive a fresh direction, then we must consider doing the following. Prophesy according to the fresh leading and gear the congregation to move into the flow of what God is saying. Build up the prophetic flow by changing gears into a short, inspired prayer. Then employ exhortation to further introduce the new direction so that no one is left out. We must be sure that most of the people are with us before we sing that inspired song. Number 6, when we receive a rhema word through scripture brought to remembrance by the Holy Spirit. One of the ministry functions of the Holy Spirit is to bring scripture that he has taught us to our remembrance. The reason for this work is to provide us with a scripture text, the Logos, from which the Holy Spirit can bring forth a rhema into our spirits. The revealed portion of the verse is a specific word for a specific time, for a specific people, under a specific circumstance. This is the rhema that comes out of the remembered Logos. It is speaking the essence and the emphasis of the scriptures brought to remembrance that constitutes prophecy. Number seven, when we receive an activation through the prophetic anointing of others, when prophets, prophetic ministers are moving very strongly in the prophetic anointing, the mantle of the spirit of prophecy can fall upon the congregation. Words, thoughts, and impressions began to be quickened and formed in the hearts of the people. This stirs up a fresh prophetic message within their hearts. The quickened word is a borrowed word from the lips of the other prophets, but it becomes the initiator of the person's prophetic message. How this activation process works. Let two or three prophets be the pace setters for each meeting. The more mature gift is responsible to set the prophetic flow in motion. This responsibility should not be given to learners or anyone from the congregation. Once an immature believer upsets the prophetic flow, even the mature ones will have problems trying or flowing to tapping into the pure word. That the level of anointing released through the prophets, it sets a challenging pace for others to follow. Let two or three prophets speak at the most. These mature prophets usually start with the gift of prophecy pertaining to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Let the other prophets, mature gift operators, judge. They are to judge to see if they can take the meeting to a higher level of prophetic anointing. They are not just sitting there to judge if the prophecy is of the flesh or spirit. If something is revealed to those prophets by revelation knowledge through the gifts to those who are judging, the first operator of the gift of prophecy is to remain silent. Let this revelation flow be added to the corporate anointing of the congregation and take the congregation into a new level of the prophetic anointing. The prophetic anointing charges the place with an atmosphere of prophetic consciousness. Words of God will begin to bubble up in many hearts. At this point, the mantle of the spirit of prophecy comes up on the whole, the entire congregation. It is here that all can be taught by the prophetic anointing to prophesy and to become God's spokesman. The prophetic anointing is not only one of divine release, but it's also one of divine restraint. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, in chapter number 7, once again, I want to make sure that you go over this chapter again and again, because this really talks about how prophecy is conducted during the course of a service. And what we have seen in this generation, and even in generations past, is an abuse of how this gift is supposed to flow in a congregational setting. Chapter number 8, various forms of prophecy. The Old Testament prophets, they did a great deal more to communicate the word of the Lord than just saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They composed songs. They performed dramatic actions. And they even named their children with prophetic names. In fact, they communicated and clothed the message of God in all manner of forms. They used every form of prophetic delivery they could to effectively communicate what God was saying to the people or to his people. The prophetic oracles of God. The prophetic oracles is the first form of prophecy. It is the simplest, and it is the most direct form of prophecy. The prophetic oracles is addressing the people of God in plain speech as if it were the Lord himself speaking. It is not elaborate, nor is it illustrative. It is clear, simple, and it is straightforward. The word flow and the word contents must be established first before other forms of prophecy are introduced. We are to develop this form very freely and abundantly. The prophetic oracle is the highway of all other forms of prophetic delivery. These other forms are the exits that run off of the highway. B, prophetic exhortation. This second form of prophecy is called prophetic exhortation. It is a proclamation that revives, uses, renews, and strengthens the people. It is a speech that builds up, stirs up, and cheers up the people. In Acts chapter number 15, verse number 32, we read that Judas and Silas encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy prophetic message. One, there are two types of prophetic exhortation. The length of time that is employed and the substance that is found in the contents of the message differentiates the two types of prophetic exhortation. They can be prophetic exhortation given as prophecy. It is a short prophetic speech or even a pep talk given during the service. For example, during intervals or breaks between songs. Prophetic exhortation in the form of a prophetic message. This is longer than the pep talk or prophecy. This type requires more time to develop. The individual needs to be a student of the word must have grasped the word properly so that the exhortation can be presented spontaneously without much prior study, but by the strength of prophetic inspiration. Number two, prophetic exhortation must contain a clear word of prophecy, rhema, thus a clear prophetic word content. Greater freedom of expression as compared to prophetic oracles, more details, and should be at greater length than mere exhortation. And the visible expression of our own convictions about the prophetic word we have received. Number three, how to develop prophetic exhortation as a message. First, we must receive a rhema word from God for the congregation. Find the context in which you can zero in and put the rhema word into focus. That is, what area of church life or personal life does it apply to? Find the passage in the Bible that will help establish the rhema word that's given. Add illustrations and examples to enhance the message. Substantiate what you're saying with the convictions of your own heart. Expand and explain the message at greater length and with more detail. Express what you're going to do with what God has said. People need to know to what level you are prepared to commit your life to the truth that we are preaching. That's why all preaching is prophecy. Go ahead. The difference between a testimony and a prophetic exhortation is that a testimony is based on blessings, whereas prophetic exhortations is based upon the rhema word that God has given us to speak. C, inspired prayer. At times, God will inspire a person with his word, stirring the spirit of the person to communicate it in the form of prayer. This is the third form of prophecy. Such a public prayer can touch and move the hearts of men as much as any other form of prophetic delivery. Prophetic prayer can be released during worship, will have a sharp, cutting edge when it is evidently present. Worshiping God can become a most powerful experience. People will become more God conscious because of the intensity of the Spirit's release. The word of God must not be imprisoned. Though some churches may stand violently against tongues and against prophecy, they will, in most instances, allow prayer. And in such circumstances, introduce prophecy as inspired prayers. There are more ways than one way to catch a fish. D, prophetic singing. Prophetic singing is singing prophecy. It is giving tune and melody to the content of prophecy that have been received. The person first receives the prophecy and then receives a tune or a melody to accompany the inspirational flow of prophecy that is in his heart. Prophecy and song often occurs in the content of worship, and it serves to charge an atmosphere with a greater level of prophetic anointing. Number one, how to move into prophetic singing. Prophecy and song comes in the same way as spoken prophecy. Sometimes you hear in your spirit a word from the Lord and the melody along with it. Now, let me pause here for a second, because I've seen this in operation many times. When you have a song leader that's in tune to the Spirit of God, it's even of greater importance that you have musicians who know how to tap into the prophetic flow. It's a powerful thing to witness. Sometimes during the course of a song, you can go off into words that God is giving you that will elevate and increase and magnify and amplify the prophetic flow during the course of a service. You'll see a line being sung over and over and over, and it is God communicating what he's saying to the people present. And when that flow comes together with the song leader and the musicians, it creates such a charged up atmosphere for things to happen. Go ahead. At other times, we may only receive a message or prayer, but feel the urge to sing the message rather than to speak it. Sometimes the melody is given to you also as you sing unto the Lord in tongues. Choose the right key, and one that is, notice that, in your voice range. Prophetic songs, they do not come when you decide to set something to music. You do not compose a prophetic song, but you receive it. Number two, distinguishing other types of singing. Number one, singing in the spirit. This is a spiritual manifestation where a person sings a song in a language of tongues and then sings out the same song in an understandable language as a direct interpretation. Thus the spirit and the mind of others are edified. Often songs of this nature expresses the experiences of our lives, our love, adoration, and feelings are clearly expressed in this type of singing. It is like a song. It is in its very personal form of worship expression. Developing this can see the release of the ministry of a psalmist. Often, this type of manifestation requires practice and an anointed voice. God uses the natural talent to support the spiritual gift which he has bestowed upon us. Number two, singing unto the Lord. This is a spontaneous singing of song, either in tongues or in a known language. It has no message or theme, but it is an overflow of our heart's praises. It's always devotional and Godward in its expression. It releases a powerful corporate anointing in the whole church. If the whole church does it in unison and in faith, when it is done corporately, chord progressions are necessary. Single chord singing can be metonymous, thus using a flowing chord progression can allow the voices to harmonize more freely with a more creative expression of worship. Now, you've seen that many times with, if you ever been to Apostle Thompson's church services or attend the camp meeting or prosperity revival or even the impartation conference, many times you will see this young lady in worship go off into these areas. Go ahead. E, prophetic actions. The Old Testament prophets, they brought impact to their prophecies by performing dramas or corresponding actions to vividly portray the message they were proclaiming. All of the corresponding actions are inspired dramatizations of the prophetic message. They performed the actions not because they wanted to be dramatic, but rather in obedience to the Lord. For performance, you need skill. But for prophetic actions, you need not only the skill, but an anointing and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's movements. Prophetic actions flowing through banners, flags, dance, and other physical demonstrations of a worshiper makes the prophetic message visible, not just audible. And when the source of inspiration and the stirring comes from within a person's heart, their corresponding actions will portray a spirit message. Banners or flags that we use can demonstrate our inner flow of revelation. The word of God within us must find new avenues of visible expression in the prophetic move. F, through a vision. Now we must refer back to chapter number 7. Seven ways prophecy comes to us. G, personal prophecy. The Lord speaks through prophecy to individuals, just as he does to groups of people. From time to time, we may experience the Lord giving to us a specific word for a specific person. It may be a word of exhortation, edification, and comfort, or even a word of direction or rebuke. Prophecy for an individual is subjected to the same need and principle, protesting and discernment, as any other forms of prophecy. Number one, personal prophecies and the prophetic presbytery. Personal prophecy receives a prophetic presbytery can be life-changing. One single prophecy can turn the destiny of a life around for the purposes of God. The prophecies that come through the prophetic presbytery are of a different level than those through the gift of prophecy. They are, A, they are confirmative, confirming the facts and the situations, directions, or words already received are perceived in the recipient's heart. B, directive, providing a new direction to be taken, or throwing light on areas that needs immediate attention and response. C, predictive, unfolding events or things that will take place in the future. Warnings and even precautions are included, thus providing safety measures. D, corrective, correcting the effects of the past and the bondage of the old life. It restructures the present life and situations, making sure the past is not affecting the present, thereby releasing the person to thrust forward and to lay hold of his future destiny. E, conditional, revealing certain human responsibilities that need to be addressed. It indicates what is involved in bringing the prophecy and the promises of God to fulfillment. F, informative, providing a divine perspective and spiritual insight. God throws light upon the circumstances, and the revealed knowledge sets the recipient free. G, impartative, releasing the word of grace and divine enabling to the hearer. It also releases gifts, and it imparts in seed form what the prophet has in receiving the impartation. They actually receive the prophet's reward from the prophet. Number two, learning to move in personal prophecy. Preparation. Establish yourself in receiving a good flow of prophecy. prophecy frequently as many times. Prophesy abundantly as much in word. Prophesy progressively as much in truth content. B, learn to discern when to give general prophecy for the church and specific prophecies for individuals. C, learn to discern who needs and not who wants personal prophecy. You notice that. Who needs and who wants. There's a big difference. Go ahead. D, ask God what he's doing in the lives of the people present, especially when their spirits are open during worship. Now, here's something a great man of God taught. See, in prophecy, you're really ministering to the spirit and to the soul of an individual. You see, God wants to reveal to them what he wants them to know. Go ahead. Process. Have personal contact with the person. Lay hands on the one that you're ministering to, or keep eye-to-eye contact as you're prophesying over him or her. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you words concerning the areas in their lives, specific areas in need, areas of commendation, areas of gifting, areas that are holding them down, and the provisions that God have for them, what God has planned for them in the future, and declare only God's word and not what you have faith in God to believe for, what will happen for them. Learn to distinguish the following in order to avoid errors in ministering personal prophecies, predictions. We need a foundation of God's clear, directive word, faith statements, or faith declarations of the person prophesying or what he believes could happen because he sees from his viewpoint and from where he's standing in God. One man's faith level is different from another man's faith level. And we cannot impose our faith on others. Spiritual calculations and deductions. This is guesswork. And no man can build his life on sinking sand. Operate tactfully on a one-on-one basis. Go to your closest friends and ask if the word received means anything to them. Do not say, God told me thus and thus, or thus said the Lord. The following phrases will help us to avoid errors in prophecy. This may mean something to you. How does this sit with you? I may be wrong, but what do you think about this? I'm not sure, but I keep feeling this thing. While I was praying, I thought this word could be referred to you and your need. That's guesswork and calculation. Go ahead. Stay focused on God. keep your mind alert and continually set upon the Spirit of God, provisions, fresh thoughts, or even illustrations when operating in personal prophecy. Do not allow human reasoning or questions to fill your mind. Do not dialogue within your mind, but think only of what God is saying. Now, children, if I were you, I would read over chapter 7 and 8 over and over again, because it's important to where we're going. See you next time.